So if you don't want to say thank you, that does, that would make a big difference. If that's enough.
So both, I figure for the week that we have to learn, or a little bit more than a week, before Pesach, we can learn a little about the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, get a touch of kachim, not even the tip of the iceberg, but a little bit. So I prepared these marmakomas, so you should have 6 pages.
Yes.
Okay, it took me a long time to put this together, but it's a start. And the Mirtz Hashem, if we can continue this on Wednesday, that would be fine. And we haven't made a final commitment about whether we want to continue with Kachim or continue with Shabbos. You know, I'm trying to get some feedback. I sent out emails. I don't know if does anybody here got any. I know Rabbi, you responded.
I didn't get one.
And Yonatan, you got an email. Alan, you got an email.
I don't remember it, but I'm basking. All right, okay.
So Yonatan, you will wait to hear your psak, because I have to make a decision. For me, it's a challenge to get inspired by a different area of learning, and it's a world unto itself.
Right.
It also has to coincide with the Daf Yomi that's learning Kachim as of sometime after Pesach, maybe a week or two after Pesach.
Well, that won't last long. They'll be beyond this in no time.
Yeah, probably. But still, you know, it's an interesting opportunity. It's very conceptual, very abstract. It's got a mechanics of its own.
Right.
So that's what we're throwing out as a possibility.
Which would you want to start with?
I would start to coincide with the Daf Yomi and Zvachim, you know, and see where that takes us. You know, the thing about Kachim, I was told by everyone, is that you gotta push forward before you have an orientation. You have a picture. They recommend a lot to learn Pesachim. Pesachim is a little bit easier, you know, Korban Pesach. I mean, Pesach Sheni, and then Yuma is also very. So, you know, we have many different options about how to iron this whole thing out. But so we'll see. In the meantime, we have today. Let's not waste out of time. I should have a Gemara Pesachim somewhere here. Let's see if I brought it. Okay, here we have it. Okay, we're going to take a look at a sugya, which is towards the beginning of Tamid Nishchat. It's not the first sugya in Tamid Nishchat. The first sugya in Tamid Nishchat is also very interesting, but that'll come way down the line, and that's the sugya of Hashlama, what's called Hashlama, which means that the Karban Tamid, in the case of the Tamid Shel Shachar, that has to be the kickoff of all the Karbanos brought in the Mikdash. In the case of Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, that has to be the closure of all the Karbanos. And the Gemara is a whole sugya at the very beginning of Tamid Nishchat, here on Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, and it goes on here to Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, about whether or not you could bring the Karban Pesach after the Karban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and in a sense violate the essay of Hashlama, Aleha Hashlam Kol HaKarbanos Kulam, for the sake of the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, especially if he didn't bring his Karban Pesach before the Tamid, and it's a situation in which we have the mitzvah of Karban Pesach versus the mitzvah of Hashlama, that the Karban Tamid should be the last Karban. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we reconcile all this? How do we balance it? Here, on Daf Nun Tes, the sugya that we want to start with is the sugya in the name of Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. That's about 2/3 down from the top of the page. And the case that he's dealing with is a Mechusar Kapara. Now, Mechusar Kapara is a perek in Masechta Kresos. And there are 4 categories of Mechusar Kapara. That's Zav, Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora. And what's common to all these 4 is they have to bring an entire series of Karbanos before they're allowed to eat from Kachim. And now there's a pressing need. If, let's say, the Mitzora, for example, it could be any of the 4 Mechusar Kapara, brought, let's say, his Karban Shlamim, and now there's a mitzvah to eat the Karban Shlamim, and the problem now becomes that before he got a chance to eat the Karban Shlamim, they already brought the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Now, in order to allow him to eat the Karban Shlamim and fulfill that mitzvah, what we absolutely need is that he bring his entire series of korbanos. Which means, let's say in case of Yoledes, Yoledes and Metzorah have to bring not only Korban Shlamim, which they eat, but they can only eat after they complete their process, but they also have to bring a Korban Chatas. So it's a funny kind of thing, because if you don't allow the Mechusa Kapara to bring the Korban Chatas, then you've enjoined him from eating from his Shlamim.
Right.
And if you allow him to bring his Korban Chatas, then you violated the mitzvah of Hashlama. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yishmael, Beno Shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, if he brought his Shlamim before, and he hasn't yet brought his other Korbanos, and now they already brought the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, he's allowed to be makir of his Korbanos after the Tamid, in order to be makir him to eat his Shlamim. So the Gemara asks the following, Hai essay, vahai essay. The Gemara says, why is this essay of eating the shlamim more important than the essay of hashlama? My ilmai, hai essay, vahai essay. Now, before we see the next part of the sugya, we have to focus on two words. And it's unbelievable, out of this entire Talmud here, you know, which has many, many words on it, in Daf and Tes and Psachim, our Shia today will be focused on just two words. High essay. So there's another high essay in the same line, but that's referring to Hashlova. That's the Sugya Daf Nun Ches, which we put that on the back burners. But high essay means the essay of eating from the basar hashlamim. That's a mitzvah saseh. Right. So Rashi explains, what's the nature of this mitzvah saseh? Rashi says, every mitzvah saseh has to have a source in the Torah. So Rashi quotes a pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. And what does it say in Parshas Tetzaveh, which we read a few weeks ago, maybe it's a few months already, I don't remember. It says there, V'ochlu osam asher kupar bahem. So here I have a chumash, which has, my chumash here is open to two different parshas. One is Parshas Korach, which we'll get to a little bit later, and the other is Parshas Tetzaveh. The Torah actually dedicates an entire perek to what's called El HaMiluim. Now, El HaMiluim is part of the process of the Chanukah HaMishkan. And it's a Korban Shlamim. The Torah commands us to give from this El HaMiluim what's called Chazav Ashok. And that was, in this case, which is very complicated, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status only at that time, Lashah, of a Kohen Gadol. And what about the basar of the aisle, the remainder, the balance of the meat, with the exception of the chaz of ashok? So the Torah says that has to be eaten by Aaron Ubanov. In other words, by the Kohanim. So there's an El HaMiluim, and now we're going to split the achil into two. There's the chaz of ashok that's given, in this case, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then there's the balance of the basar that has to be given to Aaron Ubanov. So in Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Torah says, V'ochal Aaron Ubanov es Besar Ha'ayel. They have to eat the Besar Ha'ayel. In the very next Pasuk, that's Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, V'ochlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. Okay, so we're talking about Aaron Ubanov eating from the Besar Ha'ayel, and the Torah adds the words, not only are they eating from this Basar, but also Asher Kupar Bahem. So on this pasuk, we have a very, very famous Gemara in Masechet Chulin. I think it's on Kuf Lamed Beis. I have it open here. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it inside later. And the Gemara says that Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim Miskaprim. So Rashi here on our sugya quotes that statement and this pasuk in Tetzaveh. I'll just read to you the relevant part of Rashi. Rashi says that why is there such a mitzvah on the Mechusa Kapar to eat the Basar Ashlamim? Dechsiv, because the Torah says, V'achlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. So V'achlu Osam, to eat the Basar, is a mandate which the Torah commands like any other mitzvah of the Torah. Just like we have, for example, a mitzvah of eating matzahs, right? It says, Ba'erev tokhlu matzahs. Or, for example, we have a mitzvah eating to carbon Pesach. Right? V'ochlu asam bosam alaylahu. Here also it says, V'ochlu osam asher kupar behem. The word kupar here means kapara. The word kapara has a very specific meaning in the world of kodshim. Every karbon is a machaper. It's almost, if I can give a mashal, it's like if I want to transfer ownership over this object to you, so there's a maisa kinyan, and then there's a chalos kinyan. The chalos kinyan means that the transition has been validated, and now you acquire ownership if you're the kona and I'm the makna. So that's called a chalos. The parallel in kodshim to a chalos is called kapara. And whenever you want to know if they did enough in the Avodas HaKarbon in order for it to be valid, you always ask, did you achieve the Kapara? Did you not achieve the Kapara? And the Torah says that part of this process of bringing the Kapara, of achieving the Kapara, is the Achlu Osam, is the Achila. The Achila here is a reference to the Achila of the Kohanim. And yet, Rashi says the following Chiddush, that even though Rashi is invoking this Pasuk as the source of the mitzvah achilas kodshim, and even though this pasuk is addressing itself yachlo sam to the kohanim, nevertheless Rashi says alma achilas kodshim esehi. There's a mitzvah say of eating kodshim. So at this point, you know, you can take a deep breath, and the space here between the word kupar bahem and the next word alma is, wait a minute, that's not a source for the mitzvah of eating kodshim. That's a source for the mitzvah of a kohen to eat kodshim, because the Torah is referring to the kohen. So Rashi says, this is the big breakthrough of Rashi. Rashi says, Alma achilas kodshim esehi, bein hanecholim lekohenim, bein hanecholim liyisrael. Most of Ashiya today will be focused on these few words in Rashi. Rashi makes a breakthrough here. He says that, again, we're going to add a few words to the Rashi, that even though the pasuk itself is referring to achilas kohanim, Rashi says the mitzvah of achilas kodshim is not just achilas kohanim, but it's bein achilas kohanim ubein nechalim liyisrael. So Rashi is saying that even when the Yisrael eats his part, and again, in Hilchus Kodshim, what kind of carbon are we talking about when we say that the Yisrael has to eat his part? Shlomim, so it's only Shlomim. So for example, we have a Chatos and we have an Oshav, and that's Kodshe Kodshim, and that can only be eaten by the Kohanim. Then we have Kodshim Kalim, which is the case of Shlomim, and maybe we can talk about Lachmei Toda, maybe we can talk about El Nazir, and a couple of other possibilities. Lachmei Toda for the Arvah Shetzri from Lahodos, right? They experience the salvation, and there also we have the status of a Korban Shlomim. In all these cases of Kodshim Kalim, it's the Achilas Yisrael. And Rashi says that even the Achilas Yisrael is a mitzvah. And that might not sound like such a radical breakthrough, because, okay, Achilas Yisrael and Kodshim is no less important than the Achilas Kohanim. But number one, the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk that Rashi is quoting is talking about Achilas Kohanim. And even though, again, El HaMiluim is really a Korban Shlomim, but nevertheless, it had a different status. The Torah itself calls it Kodshe Kodshim. That El HaMiluim has a breakthrough status, just like we said that Moshe Rabbeinu in his role here receiving the Chaz of Ashok is a special din, so too the status of the Korban itself is unique. And moreover, forget about the Lashon HaPasuk, but the Gemara itself derives from this Pasuk, Achilas Kohanim and Kaparas Abaylim, meaning that the Ochlo Osam Kohanim, and through the Achil of the Kohanim, the Bailam Amis Kaprim. So that this Pasuk, Lechora, is very restricted. If it's the source for the mitzvah Achilas Kodshim, it should be limited to Achilas Kohanim, because their Achil is very unique. What's unique about the Achilas Kohanim is that it is a machaper. It generates kapara. It really is part of the process of kapara. Kohanim ochlim ubailim is kapara. The fact that Yisrael has to eat karban shlamim and he partakes in the basar, maybe a mitzvah. It's quite possible. We'll see in the Rambam. But if it is a mitzvah, to base it on this pasuk is a very, very big stretch. So that's what we said over here, that we want to look in the Rambam and see. I'm going to ask you, Alan, maybe you could do me a favor. Take the Gemara Chulin and put it on the side here, so we'll have access to the Rambam. And there are a whole bunch of places we could look in the Rambam, and they'll all lead us to the same conclusion, that Rashi is incorrect, so to speak, meaning that the Rambam never accepted this Rashi. So we'll start with the Rambam Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. Somewhere on the table, I know I had a Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, but we'll try to find it. It's here it is. Maybe it's here. Okay. So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, this is Mitzvah Pei Tes, he should siva, listen carefully, HaKohanim Lechol Basar Kodshim. Now, if the Rambam wasn't and outspoken, he wasn't explicit about it. Listen to the next part of the Rambam. It says, "Klomar hachatos ve'ha'osham shehem kodshi kodshim." So when the Rambam codifies this mitzvah of achilas kodshim, he's talking about chatos ve'osham. Then, by definition, you're excluding Yisraelim. The Yisraelim have no part in achilas kodshi kodshim. V'husha amro yisale. This is what the exalted one said. And he quotes that apostle in Parashas Tetzava, the El Amilu, and the Achlo So Asher Kupar Bahem. It's the kapara that's generated by the Achilles Kohen. And he goes on and he says.
So that's a question. That's not a riot.
No, I'm saying it's a question on Rashi. It's not a question on the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that this pasuk is talking about Achilles Kohen. And Rashi says, no, it's Bein HaNechol Mekonin, Bein HaNechol Yisraelin.
Yeah, but it's connoted by Asher Kupar Bahem.
Right, but we never found anywhere in Chazal that the Achilas Yisrael is a Mechaper. It generates Kapara. Let's say, for example, if the Basar Ashlam would get lost, or become Tomei, that would not be Ma'akim in the Kapara, but the Achilas Kohanim is critical. And that's what the Gemara says in Chulin. Take a look over here. You'll see it on Amud Beis over here. Kohanim ochlim ubailim miskaprim. So it's the Achilles Kohen that generates the kapar of the korban. And the Rambam therefore says very well that this mitzvah of Achilles Kohanim, of Achilles Kodshim, only refers to Kohanim. And Rashi goes ahead and he expands it beyond. Let's take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. If you want to pass this over, there are two places we'll see this, and the Rambam is always very, very careful and very consistent. The Rambam in his Minyan HaMitzvos, and you can see this, by the way, if we had Sefer HaMadah, because you know the Rambam gives you the Minyan of all the Taryag in the Sefer HaMadah, but you'll see it reflected also here at the beginning of Maisa Karbonos. The Rambam says, this is the seventh mitzvah out of 23 mitzvahs in Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. That's a very unusually high number. And the Rambam says, Sheyochlu HaKohanim Basar Kodshei Kodshim. Again, the mitzvah of Achila is only incumbent upon the Kohen.
That's Kodshei Kodshim, and this is Shlom.
Right, and he has nothing beyond that. You know, it's the only mitzvah of Achila that the Rambam has here is Achila's Basar Kodshei Kodshim, which obviously is a mitzvah incumbent upon the Kohen.
Right.
That's beyond the shadow of a doubt. And the Rambam repeats himself again here in Perek Yud Mehilchus Maisa Korbanos. And once again, the Rambam says that the mitzvah is incumbent upon the Kohen. So on the one hand, the Rambam is, shall we say, more in tune with both the Pasuk in Tetzaveh and the Gemara's interpretation, the Gemara in Chulin's interpretation of the Gemara in Tetzaveh. But what we have to swing back to is our sugya here of Rabbi Shmuel, because the sugya of Rabbi Shmuel here in Pesachim assumes high essay, that there's an essay in Achilas Basar Shlamin. And we're going to have to see if we can reconcile that with the Rambam.
Is the Rambam saying that Yisrael does not eat from the Basar of Shlamin? Or are you just saying there's no mitzvah?
There's no mitzvah to do so. Correct.
He agrees, he does it.
Yeah, that's for sure. But it's nowhere codified in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, nor in his compilation of the mitzvahs in Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. And not only that, it's not even in the pasuk.
But how do we know it's that it's kapara with shlamim altogether?
Well, every carbon is a machaper.
Well,
by definition, that's what a carbon is for. But I'm just saying, to expand the mitzvah of achilas kodshim to the Israel eating the shlomim, maybe the parts of the shlomim which are eaten by the kohen, that I can understand. And that's how kohenim ochlim the Israelim is kap. Here the Rambam says, Perek Yud Aloch Aleph, achilas achatos ve'osho mitzvah saseh. Shenema v'ochlu osom asher kupar v'hem akonim ochlim u'bailim eskaprim. So again, you know, you can talk about akonim ochlim u'bailim eskaprim in all kodshim, not only in kodshi kodshim, but there's no indication that there's a mitzvah on the Israelim to eat. So what are we going to do with this sugya here? The Gemara says that in order to facilitate the achilas hashlomim on the part of the mechusa kapara, he's not a kohen, he's Israel, we're going to push off the mitzvah, or override the mitzvah of hashlomo. We're going to allow him to bring his other karbonos after the ola, after the tomage was brought, in order to facilitate his ability to eat from the karbon shlomim. Why? Because that's an essay. And the Gemara doesn't understand why that essay is more important than the essay of Hashlama in terms of the Tamid Shalbein Arbaim. But be that as it may, it's clear from Rashi that the only way of explaining this Gemara is to assume that when it says V'yachlo Osama Shakupar Bahem, it includes not just the Achilas Kohanim, which is exclusively their Achil in the case of Kodshi Kodshim of Osher V'chatos, but it also includes Achilas Yisraelim, which would justify our sugi here, Masechet Pesachim, in the case of Mechusa Kapara. So in order to explain our sugi, according to the Rambam, we have a chiddush from the Chofetz Chaim. You know that the Chofetz Chaim, amongst his many, many different contributions, obviously the most famous of which is the Mishnah Berurah, but he wrote many, many different works. His Shmiras HaLoshen is also quite popular, but he also wrote, for those who are learning Kodshim, a major work called Likutei HaLochos. I have a copy of it, but don't ask me where it is. Like all of my Sfarim, it's somewhere under a pile. He says the following. How do we understand, this is on the bottom of your page 1, the sugya that says that with regard to the Yisrael, the Mechusa Kapara, high essay, that this is called a mitzvah saseh? It's against the Rambam in so many different places, where the Rambam is always consistent that there's no mitzvah achilas kodshim on the Yisrael. It's rather incumbent upon the Kohen. So the Chofetz Chaim wants to give a teretz. Now, just by way of introduction, before we get to the teretz of the Chofetz Chaim, and I'm trying to build this up in a more, a more dramatic kind of way, because I think the Chofetz Chaim has a brilliant chiddush over here. I just want to hold it in abeyance for another moment. There's an amazing Rashi, it's a very short Rashi ala Torah, but you could really just blink and miss it. On this pasuk of the Ochlo Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. And Rashi says the following. You remember that there were two psukim, one next to the other. The first pasuk, which is Lamed Beis. So again, everyone should remember that we're learning now Shmos Perek Hoftes, an entire perek that's dedicated to this El Hamiluim. And there's so many different halachas that we learn from this parsha. So now, within Perek Chavtes, we're in Pasuk Lamed Beis, so that's easy to remember, Lev, convenient Lev. And we pointed out that in Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, V'ochal Aaron Ubanov es Besar Ha'ayl. Now watch what's going on here. Everything is getting shifted out of place. There's like nothing fits into our standard pattern over here. First of all, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to eat the Chaz V'Shok, that itself is strange, because as I said before, it's a Matnas Kahuna, and Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Kohen. So there's a separate halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kohen as far as this parash is concerned. Fine. But then there's something even more odd over here, more strange. In the paradigm of the Ochlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem, what you have the ratio of this pasuk is referring to the Kohanim, And the seif of the pasuk is referring to the bialim. So the kohen becomes the instrument for kapara through the avoda plus the achila. So the achila is like the culmination of this avoda. And then the chupa rahem is a reference to the Yisraelim, the bialim, the bala karba. Bialim is kaprim, that's the Gemara's language. But here, it's a very strange thing that's going on over here, because if bialim miskaprim, then why is Aaron Ubanov eating the Basar Ha'ayil? Meaning, what should have happened would have been that Aaron Ubanov would have received the Chazam Ashok. Okay, that we survived. Moshe Rabbeinu somehow replaces Aaron on this particular glorious day of the dedication of the Mishkan. And he becomes the Kohen. Fine. But then the Bialim Miskaprim would refer to anybody but the Kohenim, right? It's the Kohenim Ochlim and the Bialim Miskaprim. In your classical syntax, that would mean that the Israel is the Miskaper, because he's the Baal HaKarbon. But here, it's very strange, because the one who's actually eating the Basar HaKodshim here is Aaron Ubanov. So Rashi gives what I think is a three-word answer. Rashi says, V'ochlu osam Aaron Ubanov lefi shehem baalehem. Now again, I don't ask me too many questions here, because we'll have to go slowly, step by step. But what I do understand here is one point. That's all you can test me on. And even this point, maybe you shouldn't test me on. What Rashi is telling me is that paradoxically, and I can't explain why right now, Aaron Ubanov become the Balei HaKarbon. Now, the Baal HaKarbon, in the case of Shlomim, is the one who's going to eat the karbon. Rashi uses this pasuk of Lamed Gimel, the next pasuk of Yachlo Asam Asher Kupar Bahem, to establish the mitzvah d'oraisa as a mitzvah saseh of the Yisrael eating the Shlomim. But wait a second. What do you mean the Yisrael eating the Shlomim? Who's eating this karbon of El Miluim? It's the Kohen, it's Aaron Ubanov, as I state in the pasuk. So Rashi apparently is bothered by this question, and Rashi gives the following strange answer. Rashi says, Aaron Ubanov, why are they eating the karbon? And the answer is, because who eats the karbon in the case of Shlomim? It's always the Baal HaKarbon. Who's the Baal HaKarbon? So Rashi says, Lefi Sheheim Baalehem, that Aaron Ubanov become the Baal HaKarbon. In other words, Yesh Lachkar, I'm going to posit to you as a suffix, as a chakira. When Aaron Ubanov are commanded to eat the basar of the El Shlomim, under what capacity are they doing so? Is it under the capacity of Kohanim? And normally when you hear the words Aaron Ubanov, automatically you associate that with Kohanim. Or under the capacity of Bialim? And the Nafkamina is going to be tremendous, because if you want to establish, based on this parsha, a mitzvah of Yisraelim to eat kodshim, then how could you do so based on this parsha? This parsha is talking about the Aaron Ubanov eating the kodshim. So you want to establish a mitzvah of achilas kodshim based on this pasuk, you can derive that a kohen is chayav to eat the kodshim. So again, in my first possibility, and I have no doubt that the Rambam understood this in this way, who's Aaron Ubanov? I don't mean who they are by in terms of their tudat zehut, but I mean in what capacity are they eating the basar? B'toras Kohanim. So therefore, the Rambam would say that this mitzvah of achila, which you're deriving from this parasha, v'yachlo samaser kupar bahem, is a reference to the Kohanim, and therefore you must restrict the mitzvah of achilas kodshim to Kohanim and not beyond.
Yeah, but then Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen.
So we have to figure out Moshe Rabbeinu is only the Kohen in order to receive Matnos Kahuna, which means Chaz V'Shok.
Yeah.
Right? Chaz V'Shok are two of the 24 Matnos Kahuna. And here we give Moshe Rabbeinu the status of a Kohen to receive Matnos Kahuna. But in terms of who's going to be eating the Kodshim, is the Rambam is going to learn it's the Kohanim who are eating the Kodshim, and they're eating the Kodshim v'toras Kohanim, meaning as Kohanim, qua Kohanim, we would say. And if there's a mitzvah to be derived from this pasuk of Yachlo, some, the Rambam is going to limit that to Kohanim. And never does the Rambam indicate that there's a mitzvah on Yisraelim to eat the basar kachim, because if this is your source, who's eating the basar kachim? It's the Kohanim who are eating the basar kachim. But Rashi pulls a fast one here. Rashi says, no. In truth, Aaron and Ubadav happened to be Kohanim in this context. That's purely coincidental. Forget about the fact that Aaron and his children are Kohanim. Just put that, you know, freeze that for the time being. Put it into brackets. Aaron, Ubadav are the Balei HaKorban in the case of the El Amiluim. And therefore, you could derive, says Rashi, from this parsha, that there's a mitzvah on the Balaam to eat the kachim in the case again of Shlomim, and that applies to Yisraelim as well. Ah, you'll ask me the Rambam's kasha. How can you derive a chiyuv on Yisraelim? We're talking about Aaron Ubanov. The answer is that's nothing to do with Aaron Ubanov. They happen to be Kohen, but that's irrelevant. Here in this context, Rashi goes out of his way to say they are the Balei HaKorban, meaning abstract them as their you know, category, as their function, as their status. They are Balei HaKorban. Says Rashi, if the Torah is commanding them to eat from the kachim, and they're eating the Torah's Balaam, then it's irrelevant to whether they're calling him or not. That's totally, as we said before, coincidental. They're eating Bataris Bailim. This becomes the source for the mitzvah of Yisraelim to eat the Karban, because the Achilas Yisraelim is really the Achilas Bailim. And therefore the Balak Karban has to eat the Karban, and there's a mitzvah which we derive here from this parasha. Ah, you'll ask again, I'm going over for the third time, the Rambam's Kashya, but wait a second. The Aaron Ubanov are eating, they're Kohanim. No, forget about that, says Rashi. They're violent. So it's an amazing thing. In order to understand Rashi in Masechta Pesach, you really have to see the Rashi al Torah, and vice versa. The two Rashis really form one entity. But one thing is clear, that the Torah says, the Achlu Osam, we're not sure whether or not that's referring to Bailim Yisraelim, or to Kohanim who generate the Kapora. And this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi, from his point of view, understands that the Ochlo Osam is the Balei HaKorban, and therefore the Israel has a mitzvah to eat the Kachim, in the case of Shlomim, obviously. The Rambam, for his part, understands, no, this mitzvah is incumbent upon the Kohanim. The Rambam repeats himself once, twice, thrice, every time consistently, it's a mitzvah on whom? On the Kohanim. But then we come back to the kasha that we started with. How could the Gemara therefore say that there's a mitzvah, an essay incumbent upon the Mechusa Kapora, and in order to salvage and facilitate that essay, we're going to have to allow for the violation of another essay, namely the essay of what? Hashlomah, to allow him to bring his Karbanos post Tamid Shalbein Arbayim, for the ultimate goal of his fulfilling his essay. According to the Rambam, he's a Yisrael, he doesn't have an essay of Achilas Kachim. And here the Chafetz Chaim says the following. You'll see it on the bottom of your page 1. He says that when the Gemara says it's an essay, the essay here is not a reference to Achilas HaBosar, but rather, and this comes back to your point, Joel, from before, of a mitzvah asay of havas karban osav. In other words, we have a much more general mitzvah called havas hakarban. The mechusa kapara has a mitzvah of bringing a karban. In fact, a whole series of karbanos. And in the context, in the broader context, says the Chofetz Chaim, of the mitzvah of havas karbanos, there's a mitzvah of achilas habailim, even though he's a Yisrael. So again, is there a mitzvah of achilas habosar incumbent upon the Yisraelim as a mitzvah per se unto itself, according to the Rambam? The answer is no. There's no mitzvah of achilas kachim unto itself. But there's a mitzvah called havas hakarban, and that mitzvah of havas hakarban encompasses all the avodos, whatever is necessary. Obviously the kohen now becomes a shliach of the bailim. But there's one aspect, maybe more than one aspect, but there's vidui also, but there's one aspect of the Avos HaKarba which is actually implemented by the Yisrael himself, by the Bailim in the case of Shlomim, and that's going to be Achilas HaKarba. Not as a mitzvah per se, The Rambam would never count that in Taryag. The mitzvah in Taryag is Achilas HaKohen. And it's Achilas HaKohen that's on a very special level according to the Rambam. It's high, you know, high on the agenda because that's going to generate the Kaparas HaKarmon. But within the broader context of the mitzvah that's incumbent upon a person, like for example, a chote, nebuch, if he violated a chiv kareis b'shogeg, he has to bring a korban chatos, a person who ate one of two chatichos, and so forth, he has to bring a korban osham, and many other kinds of korbanos osham. And that's a mitzvah that you have as a Yisrael to fill your chovas korban. Within the broader context of that mitzvah, you have to eat the korban. That's also part of the, it's maybe it's not likuva, but it's considered a mitzvah essay. Not a mitzvah essay per se in and of itself, but it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Havas HaKarmon. This is the way that the Chafetz Chaim is able to reconcile this sugya of high essay in Psachim Nun Tes with the Rambam Sheet.
Is there a nafkamin if you say it's a mitzvah?
That's what this shiur is going to be all about. Okay then? So if you give me a few minutes, we'll try to see the significance and the long-range implications of whether you're saying it's part of the korban or it's a mitzvah unto itself. So again, Rabosai, we're not saying that there's no machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam. There's a very fundamental machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says V'yochlo Samash Akupar Bahem is the source for a mitzvah on Yisraelim to eat in the case of Shlomim, the Basar Korban. The Rambam holds that pasuk is only referring to Kohanim, has no relationship to Yisraelim. And the essay according to the Rambam, that's how the Chofetz Chaim learns it, is just a simple prat, it's just a detail in the broader picture of Havas HaKorban, the mitzvah of Havas HaKorban. So the first nafkamina, Joel, is going to be whether you count it as a mitzaseh in Taryak. And the Ram refuses to do so. The Ramban, in fact, and you'll see this on page 2, he, in his, what's called Miso Sheshachcha and HaRambam, you know, Sheshmita and HaRambam, he has a whole book almost of a critique on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he proves from our Sugim Psachim that achilas kodshim lebailim, if the baal is royal ochlam, meaning if he's assuming he has all the credentials, he's a tar and he's and so forth and so on, that's a mitzvah asay. So it seems that the Ramban belongs to the camp of Rashi, and therefore he accuses the Rambam of omitting the mitzvah asay that's incumbent upon the bailim of the korban, even though he's the Yisrael in the case of Shlomim, to eat from the basar. Basar HaKodesh. Fine. Now, there's a very fascinating discussion here in the Mefarshei HaTorah, which you'll see here in page 2 and especially on the top of page 3, regarding the parasha of El HaMiluim. And I thought that we should discuss this. El HaMiluim is a classical case of a korban tzibur, which means that no individual unto himself is considered a bala korban. The obligation and the nature of this korban is not a yachid, it's not specific to one person. And here's where the paradox just jumps out of the pages of Rashi on Chumash. Rashi says that the reason why Aaron and Banav are commanded to eat the basar ha'ayil is lefishem bailov. They're considered the bailei ha'karban. How could they be considered the bala karban with regard to a karban tzibur? We know that the ownership, so to speak, of a karban tzibur is the tzibur per se. And this is very important in Kachin. You know, the many different halachas that apply to a korban tzibur that don't apply to a korban yachid. And with regard to korban tzibur, we have a principle of tumah hutra b'tzibur. We have a principle of ein tzibur meisim. I mean, it goes on and on. So clearly in this case, we don't understand exactly how Aaron Ubanov can become the baal ha-korban when we talk about a korban tzibur. If you want to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was upgraded, and as we said before, to a Rosh Shah, to that, the status of a Kohen, that he could eat the Chaz of a Shok, Lidoros, he's not a Kohen, and therefore he cannot eat Chazon Meshok in the case of Shlomim. And if that be the case, we have the Chazon Meshok, which is given to the Kohen. We have the Bailim who eat the rest, the balance of the Basar. But how could Rashi say that the Achila of Aaron Ubanov is Achila's Bailim when we're talking about a Korban Tzibur? So it's very strange because Rashi is saying that the Ochlo Samashar Kupar Bem is going to be the source for Yisrael as the Bala Korban, commanded as it were to eat the Basar Ashlamim, and yet we're going to derive that from the El Amiluim, which is a Korban Tzibur. Where do you see an individual that's the Bala Korban and he's Mitzuma to eat from the Basar? So Rashi solves that problem by saying that Aaron and Bonav are not eating this Bitoras Kohanim, they're eating a Bitoras Bailim. But in what sense are they Bailim? You know, Bishleim, according to the Rambam, you could say that Moshe Rabbeinu gets the Chazon Meshok. That's all Rasha with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu and his status. And with regard to the, you know, the mitzvah achila is always incumbent upon the Kohen. So therefore, there's no source for a mitzvah of achilas bailim according to the Rambam. You know, the Rambam would, as we said before, would deny that this pasuk and this parasha could be a makar for the mitzvah of achilas bailim, because all we're talking about is achilas kohen. But Rashi says no. The achila here is not the achila of kohenim, really, even though they are kohenim, but rather the achila of the bailim. And that's the source for the chiyuv mitzvahs achilas karbon, besara karbon of bailim. But how can they become the bailim on a karbon tzibur? This is the question. Amongst the various commentaries on the Torah who address this question, the most famous of them is the part of Yofos. And you'll see that he leaves this as a very difficult question. And he says that you can tell me that they're eating a Bitoras Bailim, but how do they have the status of Bailim when this carbon is Michel Tzibur? By the way, I just want to point out, and again, I'm just reviewing the basics, so don't laugh at me, but for me it's important. And that is that a carbon Tzibur is purchased from the Trumas HaLishka, which means it's not your money, and it's not your money, it's not my money, it's the money that belongs to the entire Tzibur. And that makes the entire tzibur into the bailim of the korban. So the bailus of the korban, in the case of a tzibur, which is a bailus of tzibur, is reflected in the fact that the money is collected by everyone. And therefore, in the case of El Amiluim, insofar as it's a classical case of a korban tzibur, the money came to the lishkas, the trumas halishka, was not that Aaron Ubanov had to dig into their pockets and sign a check, you know, to pay for the El Amiluim. So in what sense can they be considered the bailim? Now it's true that Rashi says they eat the basar, and that's going to be the source for the mitzvah of Bailam eating the basar shlamim. That's all fine and well, but how can you call them Bailam? I understand why Rashi needs to say that they're Bailam, but how can you call it the Bailei HaKarbon when the Bailus of this carbon is that of the tzibur? Okay, so we're going to try to develop a theory here, which is largely based on the Ketzos HaChoshen. And it's interesting that the Ketzos HaChoshen is known for Choshen Mishpat. That's where he wrote his commentary. And it doesn't seem that we would find Chidushim on Kodshim and fundamental ones like this one in the Ketzos. But the Ketzos comes to this through a Sugyan Bava Kama, which is a Kodshim Sugyan in a certain sense, or at least one dimension of the Dini Mominus aspect is Kodshim. And when I learned a little bit of Bava Kama, I always was nispoiled how much of an overlap there is between Bava Kama and Kodshin. Kedushin also, Masechta Kedushin, a lot of overlap. But anyway, getting back to our issue here, here's the question. Can we divide up Bailus, Bailus over a carbon, into two distinct dimensions? Reb Chaim would call it Tzvei Dinim, but this is way before Reb Chaim. Not way before Reb Chaim, but at least a half a century, or probably closer to a century before Reb Chaim, the Ketzos. So the Ketzos wants to say the following, that there's bailus of a carbon le'inyan kapara, in English, I guess we could call it a ritual dimension. And then there's bilus over the carbon in dine momenos, in a monetary dimension. And the ktsos wants to know, can you split between the two? Can you be the bialim le'inyin kapara and me the bialim le'inyin dine momenos? So for example, from the ktsos' perspective, one of the most dramatic expressions of bialus in dine momenos is who gets to eat the basar. I mean, you and I might say, well, this is holy meat, you know, let's not reduce it to dine momenos. You know, do I have rights to eat the meat? But there is a certain dimension of dine momenos. You know, you can be chayev, and perhaps gzela, or mazik, if you destroy someone's basar kachim. Okay, it has to do with the sugi of Rabbi Shimon, and Dabra Gorm Lomom, Kimom, and Domi. I'm not getting into that. But I have rights to eat the basar insofar as I'm the bialim. Can it be split into two? Can you be the bialim as far as kapara, even though I'm the bialim on the karbon as an entity, as a physical entity, and I will eat the basar? So give me just one more minute to clarify what the ktsos has in mind. What's the sugi baba kama yud gimel all about? We have a din called shor shehizik, shor amazik, and in the case of a short tam who was not mazik more than three times, question on at the third time, okay, that's a machlokas, a baivarova, but he hasn't been mazik, he hasn't been nogeach, I'd say, too many times. So the halacha is that a short tam is govim migufo. Have you ever heard of Yuchlad Ashar? I think we once discussed it, maybe. I'm not sure where or when, but which means that the Nizak gains ownership over the Shar. Again, up to the value of half the Hezek. Now, assuming the value of half a Hezek is equivalent to the value of the Shar on the market, then the Nizak basically owns the Shar. And according to one man, the Omar, Yuchlad Ashar, that immediately up. You know, even before we get to Bezdin and we testify, the Nizak, as a result of the Negicha of the Shor HaMazik, owns the Shor HaMazik. To the extent to which he can be Magdish it, he can be Kaddish and Isha with it, and so forth and so on. Oh. However, what happens in the case where the Shor HaMazik is a Behemoth Hegdish? And the owner of this kachim was not careful about watching it, and the animal went out and it damaged. So halacha is, at least up to chatzi nezek, the nizak becomes the bialim over the shor. So the ktsos wants to claim that even though the nizak is bialim on the shor, that's only as, what's he going to do with the shor? It's a shor of shlomim, let's say, right? It's behemas shlomim. So the ktsos wants to suggest that they'll bring the karbon, and the nizak gets to eat the basar. His monetary ownership expresses itself in the rights to eat the basar. However, the kapara itself remains the kapara of the mazik. So the mazik himself is the bala karbon. But yet, the nizak is the bala karbon. How is that so? I mean, how can it, out of one mouth, one side of my mouth, I'm saying that the mazik is the bala karbon. On the other side of my mouth, I'm saying the nizak is the bala karbon. Says the ktsos, no problem. They're both considered bala karbon. How? You know, it's like the rabbi and fiddler on the roof. You know, you're both right, right? And how can you both be right? The answer is that the mazik is the bala karbon as far as kapara is concerned. And the nizak is the bala karbon as far as the achilas abasar is concerned, because in dine momenos, he owns the karbon. And based on this, the ktsos comes up with the following possibility. Okay, let's take a look on the top of page 4. Now, a guy, a non-Jew, doesn't have the ability to bring a carbon shlomim. There's a lot of deep philosophy here, but not for us. It's all speculative. But a guy is mufka from a carbon shlomim. He has only what's called a carbon ola. So if a guy wants to volunteer to give a carbon, it's going to be a carbon ola. What happens the following? The guy was magdish a carbon as a carbon shlomim, but he does so on behalf of a Yisrael. In such a case, again, because a guy is mufka from a carbon shlomim, the bialim on the carbon is the Yisrael. He's going to eat the basar. Okay, so we'll get back to the split of the ktsos in just a minute. What we have to remember now is that if we're looking for a scenario in which, despite the fact that there is bialis on the carbon, linyan kapara, there's also bialis on the carbon as far as achilas habasar is concerned, then the case of a guy with a carbon shlomim avur Yisrael would be a case where the Yisrael becomes the bialim as far as achilas habasar is concerned. And why is that? First of all, because the guy appointed the Yisrael as the bala carbon as far as the carbon shlomim is concerned. And secondly, because a guy is mufka from a carbon shlomim. So the only one possibly who could eat the basar is Yisrael. So we have an expression of a case where someone brought a carbon, he was magdish a carbon, but somebody else is going to be the beneficiary as far as the achilas habasar is concerned. Do you see the similarity between the ketzos's case of mazik and nizak and this case of a guy shehigdish shlama for Yisrael? In both cases, we're going to split. And we're going to say the following, that there's a new bialis here that emerges called achilas habasar. In the case of the nizak, because of yuchlat ashar and his rights in dinim avinus to be gover from the gufo shel shar, he will eat the basar of the shar shel shlamim, the shar mazik. In the case of the guy who brought a carbon shlamim, it's Yisrael who becomes the bialim with regard to the achilas habasar. It's very fascinating because, you know, you wonder in a certain sense, when the mazik was magdish the animal, he did so b'toras bialim, and he owns the animal in dinim avinus, right? It's his ox. But you and I would have thought, well, you know what? If this animal becomes kodesh, right? If he's magdish the animal, then you have both his bialus as far as kapara, as far as the essence of the carbon is concerned, and also his bialus as far as the ability to eat the carbon. That's fine until the animal went out and damaged another animal. Now the whole situation changes, says the Ktsos, because the Nizak now becomes the owner of the animal. So you would have said, well, how could his ownership on the animal give him rights to eat the Basar Kachim when those rights emanate from Dini Mominis, and the Dini Mominis belong to the original Magdish. So you'll answer, wait a minute, but the Magdish forfeited his bialis moment because Yuchlat HaShar, because the Shar now belongs to the Nizak. Yeah, but who is Magdish the animal, and to whom does the Kapara relate? It relates to the Mazik. So how can the Nizak be a bialim here on this Karbon? And that's the breakthrough of the Ktos, that even though the Nizak doesn't have any relationship to the Kapara power of this Karbon, because he wasn't Magdish the Karbon, it's not his Karbon, and that power of kapara akati still remains, is still accrued or related to the mazik, the owner of the shor. But nevertheless, in dini mavinus now, you can cut down the bialus, sort of chop off a piece of that bialus as the balakar, but namely the achilas habasar, and transfer it over to the nizak. That's the chiddush of the ketzos. If this be the case, then the Ktsos wants to shed a new light on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that you could sell Kachim Kalim. What is the meaning of selling Kachim Kalim? How can you sell Kachim Kalim? This is your Shlomin. You are Magdish it. You're going to get a kapara through the avod of this carbon, and now you're selling it? How do you effectuate a sale on something that's, you know, that's something that's a kapara? Can I sell you my tefilos? Can I sell you my my vidui in the case of tshuva? The answer is, says the Ktzos, you, the seller, according to Rabbi Yossi, remain the Bailam as far as Kapara is concerned. Kapara is non-transferable. Do you remember the old days they used to have when you got a certain coupon, it would say on the bottom, non-transferable? I don't know if they still have that. So the Kapara is non-transferable. You're the Bala Karma. But there's another Bailus, and that's Achilas HaBasar. That Achilas HaBasar, although it emanates from the Bailus on the carbon, can be separated and severed from the Bailus on the carbon as a Mechaper. And we have a new Bailut. He's a Dine Mamanistic Bailut. And what Dine Mamanis does he gain from owning this? From the, you know, Reuven sold me a Shar Shal Shlomim. So what do I gain by that sale? The answer is I gain the rights to what?
Sure.
To eat the Basar.
So
to what Shvua is that?
Take a Shvua then.
Oh, I don't know about Shvua. I wasn't learning about Shvua. What I'm saying is that now, as a result of the fact that you sold me this karmon, I can now eat the basar, and those are my rights. That's what comes out of this ktsos.
Did the Kohen able to eat it b'chol year then, or did not eat it in the entire year?
I don't think any of that changes, as far as I know. We're only discussing who gets to eat the basar in terms of the bailim, the Yisrael. The Yisrael has to eat the karbon within the confines of Yerushalayim, as any shlomim, and now he can do so, even though all he did was pay money for this karbon. It's very interesting. But he gets the rights to eat the karbon. That's the breakthrough of the ktsos. Oh. Now, according to this, let's go back to Rashi. Rashi in Parashas Tetzaveh says that in the El HaMiluim, who's considered the Bailim over the Karbon? Aaron Ubanov. And all the Mepharshim ask, how could Aaron Ubanov be the Bailim of the Karbon? It's a Karbon Tzibur. The answer is that the Tzibur could effectuate a Kinyan and transfer ownership over the Karbon. And the Torah is demanding that in the case of El Amiluim, for one, the bailus of the Tzibur is transferred over to Aaron Ubanov. But that doesn't mean that Aaron Ubanov are the bailum of the Karbon as far as Kapar is concerned. Who's the Mechaper related to? The Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. But according to the Ktsos, and that was the question we asked, how could Rashi possibly say that Aaron Ubanov on the Bailam of the Karbon, the Bailus is that of the Tzibur? And it came from Truvas HaLishka, we added, and so forth and so on. The answer is that according to the Chiddush of the Ketzos, you can separate two Dinim and Bailus. You can have the Bailam over the Kapara, and that Bailam could transfer his Bailus and Dinim Mominis over the Achilas HaBosar. So when Rashi says that Aaron Ubanov become what? Become the Bailim over the Karbon, and that's going to be the source, according to Rashi, for the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim in the case of Shlomo on the part of the Israel. How could they become the Bailim over a Karbon Tzibur? The answer is that the Tzibur itself could transfer ownership, not over the Kapara of the El Amiluim, but over the Achilas HaBasar. Those rights that accrue to the Tzibur, now they can transfer over to the Aaron Ubanov. And therefore, Aaron Ubanov, according to the Ktsos, become now the Bailim Le'inyan Achilas HaBasar. But I don't believe that this is pshat. I'll tell you why. Because the Ochlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. And that means that Bailim Miskaprim. If Rashi is telling me that the Achila of Aaron Ubanov is Achila's Bailim, what he means is the Bailus on the Kapara. Because again, what we want to achieve is to fit in our claim, Rashi's claim, that the source for Achila's Kodshim, and that mitzvah which is incumbent on the Yisrael in the case of Shlomim, is this Pasuk Asher Kupar Bahem. But Asher Kupar Bahem is referring to the kapara of the Bailus, not to the Achila. Again, you could tell me that the carbon, the Bailus Linyan kapara generates the heter or the mitzvah, according to Rashi, of Achilas HaBasar. But if you don't accomplish the following goal, if you don't set up Aaron Ubanov as the Bailus Linyan kapara, then they would not be the Bailus Linyan Achila as well. For example, remember I told you before that if a guy can't bring a carbon shlamim, then what happens to the carbon shlamim of the guy? He brings it avur Yisrael. The Yisrael now becomes the bialim. What does that mean? It means, number one, that the Yisrael will eat the basar of the shlamim, but it also means that they get the kapara, because the halacha bialim is kaprim. So that when the Torah says that there's a mitzvah of achilas basar that's incumbent upon the Yisrael who brought the karban, that's because Bailam is kafrim. That's because it says asher kupar bahem. So it's not just that the achilas basar is some sort of a technical, mechanical act, but the achilas basar drags along with it the kaparas habailim. So there's definitely one dimension of Bailus here, which includes both the Achilas HaBasar and the Kaparas HaKarbon. How therefore could we possibly say that, which was a very nice attempt, and based on the Ketzos it seems to be correct, that the status of Aaron Ubanov as Bailim is limited to Achilas HaBasar, but they really don't own the Karbon, because the Karbon is owned by whom? By the Tzibur. So we wanted to split and say, yeah, the Karbalini Kapar is owned by the Tzibur. That's for sure correct. But as far as the Achilas HaBasar is concerned, the Tzibur could transfer ownership over to Aaron Ubanov, and that's what the Torah requires. That doesn't make any sense, because the Torah says, Asher Kupar Bahem, that the Achila is intertwined and generates the kapara, so it's a double bailus. It's a bailus le'inyan achila, which generates a bailus le'inyan kapara. But then, what are we going to do with the ketzos? Because the ketzos says that you can split between bailus on the kapara, and that's going to accrue to the mazik, the owner of the shor mazik, and bailus on the achila, and that's going to accrue to the nizak, insofar as he acquires dini mamonis and bailus of mamon over the shor mazik. So on the one hand, we're saying something very strange, that the ketzos is going to split between the bailus l'inyan kapara and the bailus l'inyan achila. Reuven, who's the owner of the shor mazik, will be the bailum as far as kapara. Shimon, the owner of the shor nizak, will be the bailum as far as achilas habasar is concerned. But that's not so, because if you take the paradigm case of the guy who brings the carbon shlamim, then all dimensions of bailus are transferred over to the Yisrael. When he brings the carbon shlamim avur Yisrael, the Yisrael now becomes the bailum linyan kapara and the bailum linyan achilas habasar. And once you're the bailum linyan achilas habasar, you become willy nilly the bailum linyan kapara. If that be the case, then in El Amiluim as a carbon sibur, how can we possibly explain Rashi by saying that the Kohen, in this case the Aaron Ubanov, are commanded in the mitzvah of what? Of Achilas HaBasar, but they represent the Bailim. What do you mean they represent the Bailim? The Bailim is clearly the Bailus of the Tzibur. So according to the Ketzos, we do have a Mahalach here in Rashi. We could say the Bailus of the Tzibur is limited to the Kapara, and that's going to be like the Shor HaMazik as far as the Mazik is concerned, and the Bailus L'inyan Achila, as far as Dini Momenus is concerned, is transferred over to Aaron Ubanov in the case of El Amiluim, or to the Nizak in the case of a Shor Mazik. And that's okay. And that would be a gewaldic way of understanding Rashi. That Rashi holds that Aaron Ubanov here b'Torah's Bailim are eating the Basar, and they have a mitzvah to eat the Basar, and this becomes the source in the Torah for the mitzvah of Achilas Basar in the case of Shlomo on the part of the Israel is concerned. What I'm pointing out is that I don't know how to reconcile the Ketzos with the halacha that he who eats the karbon generates the kapara of the karbon.
That
we saw from the case of the goy. Yeah.
Why can't you say that the Aaron and Ubanov are, they're also part of the Tzibur? They're gone, but they're also part of the tzibur. As part of the tzibur, so they are the representatives of the tzibur, and when they're ochel, the tzibur is being ochel also.
Again, you know, the assumption that we're working with is that there are two types of kaparas, just like there are two types of tzibur. We're never going to say in a carbon tzibur, well, I'm part of the tzibur. Because if you're going to say I'm part of the tzibur, then you've completely nullified all the nafkaminas, and there are manifold nafkaminas between a carbon tzibur and a carbon yachid. The fundamental difference between a carbon tzibur and a carbon yachid is that the yachid doesn't get kapara b'taras yachid. He's not a violent b'taras yachid.
Yeah.
He has no status whatsoever. He's completely melted, so to speak. He forfeits his own personal identity in the broader context of being a carbon tzibur. To say that he gets a kapara and he's the bialim on the kapara because at the same time call it a carbon tzibur, that's a contradiction in terms. So therefore, on page 4, if you take a look on line 4, I point out that in Reuven Higdish Shlomim, let's say Reuven was Magdish a carbon Shlomim. And he says, Kadesh is Kapur Bem Shimon. He's very magnanimous, and he wants Shimon to get the Kapara. Therefore, even though indeed Imamanus, Reuven is the Bailim, but nevertheless, Shimon is the Bailim as far as Kapara is concerned, because he said, Kadesh is Kapur Bem Shimon. And therefore, Shimon will eat the Basar, just like in the case of the Shlomim that was brought by the guy, where the Israel will eat the Basar Shlomim. Here too, since Shimon becomes the Bailim in Kapara, then he mamela becomes the bialim linyan achila, because the Torah says the achlu osam asher kubar b'hem, that the achila generates the kapara. So the achila and the kapara are one and the same; they're intertwined. So even though in Dini Mamanus Reuven is the bialim, but once he gives the kapara over to Shimon, then Shimon now becomes the bala karbon in a double sense. He becomes a bala karbon as far as the kapara is concerned, and a bala karbon as far as the achilas abosar is concerned. So here's the question. We have halacha here of a magdish al menashe is kapir b'hem achirim. Correct? So, for example, Reuven was magdish b'hema, al menashe is kapir b'shimon. So Reuven now, according to the Ketzos, remains the bialim in dini mamonos. But he transfers over the bialus as far as the carbon is concerned to Shimon. So the question I want to raise with you, which is number 7 on your page, Is it possible, therefore, that the Magdish and the process of generating Hegdish in the case of Elam Elum was the Tzibur, but they were Magdishit al Menas, she is Kapur Behem Aaron Ubonov? Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, just like in the case of a carbon yachid, I can be Magdish a carbon al Menas that you'll become the Bailam in Kapara. We saw that in the case of a guy. We saw in the case of Reuven and Shimon Yisraelim that Reuven can be Magdish and he makes a Tanai al Menashe's Kapur Shimon. Does this apply even in the case of a carbon tzibur?
Who gives the right to turn into a transfer?
No, I'm saying that the Torah itself obligates the tzibur to be Magdish the animal with all the necessary prerequisites of a carbon tzibur, but al Menashe, she's Kapur Behem Aaron Ubonov. In which case the Aaron Ubanov become the Bailim. Again, not just because Aaron Ubanov are eating the Basar, but because the Kapara now relates to Aaron Ubanov. So I would have said the following. Bishlam, in a case of a Karban Yachid, I can be Magdish a Karban. I retain ownership in Dini Mominus, as we said before, but now I can transfer to you all the Bailus as a Machaper is concerned. And if Achilas HaBasar is part of the process of bringing Kapara, that too accrues to the Makabel, we'll call it. Is it possible, again, this is pretty way out, but maybe this is the way we have to go in Rashi, because again, Rashi has to justify why Aaron Ubanov called a Bailim over a Karban Tzibur. Is it possible that even in a Karban Tzibur, the Tzibur could be Magdish an animal, Al Menashe is Kapur Behem, two Yechidim, or in this case, a whole bunch of Yechidim, Aaron Ubanov? And if that be the case, maybe what Rashi is telling us is that Aaron and Banav now become the Bailim over the Karma.
It's not a Korban Tzibur anymore.
And it's not a Korban Tzibur anymore. It transfers its whole status, because the only Bailus that the Tzibur retains on this animal is Dinim Avinus.
Yes,
but in Hilchos Karbanos, they can transfer over the Kapara. We saw that by a Yachid, can it apply to a Tzibur? Now look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Aaron and Banav will eat the basar, correct? Let's go back to the pasuk, and it says, "V'achal Aaron ubanav es besar ha'ayil." And then the pasuk says, "Ki kodesh kadoshim hi." Now, this is very interesting, because what do you mean kodesh kadoshim? We're talking about a carbon shlamim. A carbon shlamim is kodesh kalim. It's not kodesh kodesh.
Right.
According to the Rambam Shita, that these that Aaron and Banav are eating it b'toras kohanim, and according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah achilas basar is only on kohanim, exclusively on kohanim. That's what the Torah wants to emphasize here by calling it kodesh kodeshim. The Torah is changing the status of this el miluim from that of kodeshim kalim, where a Yisrael has a right to eat the basar, he has a heter to eat the basar, to that of kodesh kodeshim, which means that only the Kohanim are allowed to eat the basar. And in this case, it's Aaron Ubanav. So it's only Kohanim who can eat the basar. And now you can derive a mitzvah from this pasuk of Achilas Kodeshim, but it's only limited to Kohanim. And this would be absolutely fascinating, that according to the Rambam, we have a whole new pshat in why, whole new answer to the question why the Torah goes out of its way to say not only that that Aaron and Banav are going to eat from this carbon, but that this carbon is called kachin kachin. Because the Rambam has a problem here. This is the source for the mitzvah achilas kachim. The mitzvah achilas kachim applies in the case, the Rambam says, of kachin kachim, which is Asham Vechatos, where the Kohanim have the exclusive right to eat the basar. And yet El Amiluim has the status of Kachim Kalim insofar as it's a Karban Shlamim. So how do we reconcile the fact that this is the mitzvah of Achilas Kachim, and we're talking about Kachim Kalim? The answer is that the Torah elevated the status of El Amiluim as a special Arah L'shah to that of Kachim Kachim.
But then you can't learn all these any of this down to a regular shlamim.
Correct, and that's the Rambam Shita, that there is no mitzvah achilas habasar in the case of shlamim. There's only a mitzvah achilas habasar in the case of kachin kachin. Let's again read the Rambam, so you don't say the Berzon wrote the script, right? The Rambam says, right, as we saw before, achilas achatos vel asham mitzvah asay v'akodim ochlim u'baylim miskap. Or, for example, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, Peites, where the Rambam writes, Shetziva HaKohanim Lechol Basar Kachim Klomar, says the Rambam, Chatos V'Asham Sheheim Kachi Kachim. Now we're going to write, but there was one Karban which really wasn't Kachi Kachim, and that's the source for this mitzvah of Yachol Asam, which Rambam quotes in the next line, Asher Kupa Behev, but it took upon itself, or it was elevated, if you will, to the status of Kachi Kachim. And what's that? That's the El Hamilum. So it's very fascinating. According to the Rambam, we have a great pshat in this pasuk. I'm always fascinated how Torah Shebaal Peh could influence your understanding of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is a great example that since in Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam understood that the Ochlo Osam Asher Kupvav is a mitzvah that's incumbent upon Kohanim in the case of Kodesh Kodeshim, and that's only Chatas V'Yosham. Now we can justify why the Torah, in the case of El Miluim, had to go out of its way to classify it as Kodesh Kodeshim. Because if this is the source for the mitzvah Achila, how can you tell me it's limited to Kachim Kachim? We're talking about Kachim Kalim. The answer is the Torah changed the status, so to speak, of this carbon to that of Kachim Kachim.
So what did they have to do? Because the whole thing about dead assholes, because the shame, Maktish, and so forth. Who's the Baal and who's the...
Right, what? Right. All halachas of Lishma, for example.
Lishma, so what is he calling it when he says it? He's calling it a kachin kachin.
No, I didn't mean to say that. What I meant to say is that let's say the shechita, for example, Lishma, would be l'shem el hamiluim. But as far as the mitzvah of achila is concerned, we have a very strange case where even though the dinim of kachim kalim are going to kick in here, nevertheless one din of kachin kachim is going to apply comply. Well, and that is the mitzvah that's incumbent upon Kohen. Well, and therefore, the achilas habasar becomes an achila that's part and parcel of the mitzvah that the Rambam formulates in Perek Yud Milchus Maisa Karbonus, that's incumbent upon the Kohen to eat basar kochi kochim.
Would it have the shechita? Was it with safo?
All the dinim of kochim kalim apply. It's a carbon shlomim. But as far as this one din is concerned, the mitzvah of achilas habasar, the Torah itself goes out of its way to call it kochi kochim. And that means that only the Kohen is allowed to eat the basar. And that's why the mitzvah was incumbent upon Aaron Ubanov. And the Rambam says this is the source for the mitzvah of eating, of the incumbent upon the Kohen of eating basar kochi kochim and not kochim kalim. And the paradox is that how can you say that the mitzvah is incumbent upon Kohanim and it's kochi kochim when we're not talking about kochi kochim? But the Torah goes out of its way to call it kochi kochim. Okay. Now I have a very interesting Rambam with regard to Korban Pesach. And this will all of Yirtz Hashem tie into what we're discussing today. The Rambam at the end of Hilchas Korban Pesach in Perek Ches writes that we have to bring the Korban Pesach together with the Korban Chagigah. So what it means is they would first eat the basa of the Korban Chagigah, which is Shlomim, and then they would eat the basa of Pesach. Why, says the Rambam? Because with regard to Korban Pesach, we have a mitzvah of Al HaSofa. So let's say, for example, if there were many menuyim on a particular Korban Pesach, it means every menuy is going to get a minuscule piece of the korban, how can you say that he's eating it Al HaSofa? The guy's starving to death. The answer is, don't worry about him. He's not starving, because he ate from the Korban Chagigah. Okay, so he's stooped. Now, the source for the din of Al HaSova is a Gemara in Masechta Tmura on Daf Chaf Gimel. And the Gemara there derives it from a pasuk in the parsha of Korach of Bechar. What does it mean? Bechar is Matnas Kohuna. And in the pasuk here, in Parshas Korach, the Torah says, I wrote down exactly where it was, just that I don't have to look for it, but of course I can't find it right now. But anyway, you'll trust me on this until I tell you where the pasuk is. It's in the notes there. The Torah says, L'mashcha. What is L'mashcha? L'mashcha is L'gdula. Okay, that's Gemara in Tmura. L'mashcha L'gdula. Chav Gimel Amin Alf. If anybody has a Gemara in Tmura, you can open it up. In fact, I think I have the Torah Tmimah here on the desk somewhere. He quotes all the different Gemaras. Oh, here it is. Here, let me read to you the pasuk. It's Bamidbar Yud Ches, Pasuk Ches, Vayidaber Hashem al Aaron, and he says, Ani nasati, hine nasati lachem, lacha, excuse me, es mishmeres trumosai. Okay, trumosai is a reference not just to truma, but to all matnas kahuna. Is l'chol kodshei b'nei Yisrael l'chol nesatim. Again, from each word in the pasuk, we derive another ribui. L'mashcha. So what's l'mashcha? Rashi already in Chumash says, l'mashcha l'gdula. He sends you to two places, to the Sifri, and to Gemara and Chulin on Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. The Torah Tmima adds a Yerushalmi in Masechta Bikurim. L'mashcha l'gdula hatruma vikurim nichsei kohen, and l'mashcha teaches you that they have to eat it in a special way. For example, what was the gdula of eating a bechar? Let's say, for example, which is matnas kahuna, is to eat it tzli v'chardal. Okay, so this again is considered by the Torah to be l'gdula. That's the way kings would eat meat. Okay, and it also has to be eaten al asov. You know, a king doesn't eat because he's starving to death. A king is not hungry the way you and I are hungry. I didn't mean to remind you that we have to eat lunch, but no, I'm saying that the king, you know, a king has he's constantly, you know, they're taking care of the king, pampering him, he's very well fed. You know, if you take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch, for example, on the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, he speaks about that Korban Pesach means that we're going out of slavery, we're like kings, and if we have to eat it a la sova, because a king eats it a la sova. A king eats basar tzli, so we have to eat the Pesach tzli. I mean, these are all tamei mitzvahs, but that's what we have over here. Oh, now, if you read this Gemara, you get the impression that the halacha of lemashcha l'gdula is not a specific halacha in Karban Pesach. We're talking about Bechar, but it's a din in Karbanos. No, if it's a din in Karbanos, it should apply to Chagiga. So the Rambam says that we eat the Chagiga before the Pesach in order to get the Pesach Alasova. What happened to the din of Alasova in the Chagiga itself? So the Brisker Rav has a shtickle Torah on this. You know, a lot of the Torah that we have from Brisk, if you're not in the Brisker Yeshiva, comes from what's called the stencils. You know, this is, I don't know if it was legal or not legal, but somehow they got a hold of whatever. I don't know. I'm privy to a little bit of information. There's a lot of hanky-panky here going on. But anyway, they published a lot of the Brisker Rav's Chidushim in a stencil form. And in Masechet Menachos, he says the following, that this Rambam, who paskins in Hilchos Karban Pesach, that we eat the Chagiga first in order that we eat the Karban Pesach al Asova, this is the Rambam Lishitoso. What does it mean that this is the Rambam Lishitoso? He says the following. The Rambam holds that there's no mitzvah of achilas kodshim except for the kohen in chatos v'yoshav in kodshi kodshim. The melech chagiga is not kodshi kodshim, and there's no mitzvah of achila. You know, it's fine and dandy the way the Chafetz Chaim said it before, that the Yisrael will eat the basar of the karma as part and parcel of the mitzvah hakarban. But there's no mitzvah of achila per se. Therefore, says the Brisker Rav, when there's no mitzvah of achila, there's no din of ligdula, right? Of lamashcha ligdula. Lamashcha ligdula is only when there's a mitzvah achila. He says, therefore, the chagigah, since it's kachim kalim, there's no mitzvah according to Rambam of achila. And if that be the case, there's no din of alasova, mashenge pesach. The Torah says, "V'yochlo sabasa hazeh b'layla hazeh." Sabasa b'layla hazeh is a special mitzvah of achila. So, in that sense, the mitzvah achila, in the case of Karban Pesach, and that's even as far as Yisrael is concerned, becomes similar to the mitzvah achila that's incumbent upon the Kohen in Chatos V'yoshim and Kodshi Kodshim, and therefore this halacha of Lamashcha L'Gdula. It's a beautiful shtickle Torah in the Brisker Rav. Let's go over it one more time. I just love it so much. He's saying the following. Why does the Rambam omit the halacha of lamashcha l'gdula in the case of chagiga? The answer is because the Rambam Lishitoso holds that there is no mitzvah achila in the case of a karban chagiga, in the case of a karban shlamim, which is kodshim kalim. It's only in the case of chatas v'yasha. So therefore, there's no mitzvah achila. There's no din of, the Torah doesn't tell you how to embellish that achila, because there is no mitzvah achila. Masha'en Kenin Karban Pesach, where the Torah gave us specifically a mitzvah achila, we embellish that mitzvah achila by what? By lamashcha, by eating it al asofa. Oh. But this leads us to a chiddush that came way before the Brisker Rav, and that's the tzlach. The tzlach, of course, is the Noda B'Yehuda. And he has chidushim that are called tzlach. It's very interesting. The name of the book is after whom? It's after his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Marsha is also named after his mother. There are a few svarim that are named after her mother. One of them is the tzlach. Tzion l'nefesh Chaya. Her name was Chaya. Anyway, so in the chidushim in Beitz on Daf Yutes, he has a chakira. He wants to know, do we assume that the mitzvah achilas hakodesh, in the case of kodshim kalim, is incumbent upon the Yisrael, right? The Yisrael gets part of the basar, so he has a mitzvah achila. Or is it a mitzvah that's incumbent upon a kohen in kodshim kodshim and has no impact and no application to kodshim kalim? So he quotes the Rashi here in Pesachim that seems to assume that there's a mitzvah even on the on the Yisrael. But he says, Nira me'arambam, sheyesh mitzvah rak b'kohen, b'kodshei kodshim. So therefore he asks the question, the Mishnah says at the end of Masechta Pesachim, that when they ate the Korban Chagiga, before they ate the Korban Pesach, the Mishnah says they made a bracha, asher kitshonu mitzvosu shimonu, lechol, al achilas zevach, al mitzvos achilas zevach. Now wait a second, what do you mean al mitzvos achilas zevach? Chagiga is kodshei, kodshim kalim. And according to the Rambam Shita, there's no mitzvah achila in the case of kodshim kalim. It's frektin in itzlach. How can there be a bracha if there's no mitzvah? It's clear from the Mishnah itself that there's a mitzvah to eat zvachim, all zvachim, including chagiga. The Mishnah is talking about chagiga. Is that's a raya brura to the Rashi sheet against the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah of achilas kodshim that applies in all zvachim, even in the case of chagiga, even in the case of kodshim kalim, and it's not limited to the kohanim in the case of kodshim.
Bracha doesn't say achilas, does it? The bracha just says al mitzvahs.
Right, but the Mishnah says when he eats it. Take a look, if you have a Gemara Pesachim, maybe you can do me that favor, because I can't do all the work myself. This is a major project here. The Gemara Pesachim is where? You have it here? Help me out here. I don't want to spill everything. This is Yuma, but where's... Oh, here's Pesachim, if you don't mind. Take a look. Okay. Now. Oh. So the Migdash David, which is going to be, if we ever decide to embark on this project, this is probably going to be the most important sefer that we have. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, and he wrote on Kodshim. And he writes that the reason why we make a bracha on the Chagiga is because since the Chagiga links up to the Korban Pesach, because the Rambam holds that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Alasova and Korban Pesach, I have to start with the Chagiga. So the Migdash David says that when we bring the Korban Chagiga, it's Litzorech Achilas HaPesach. The eating of the Korban Chagiga is Litzorech Achilas HaPesach. And therefore, it becomes a mitzvah, Midinei Achilas HaPesach. That's the Lashon of the Migdash David. Again, I find this very difficult, but this is the chiddush of the Migdash David. I can't be held responsible. And he's basically saying there really is no eating mitzvah achilas hazevach in the case of chagiga, because it's not kodshei kodshim. But since it's an introduction to the mitzvah of what, the hechsher to the mitzvah, it's like we spoke about Malechus Korea, you know, it's a heksher for Tefirah, or Malechus Mechika is a heksher. It's the first process in Ksiva. Here too, since the eating of the Korban Chagiga is a heksher to set up what? To set up the Achilas HaPesach Al Asova, therefore we can make a bracha on the Achila of the Zevach HaChagiga. By the way, I just make believe I didn't say this, but this reminds me of a sugya in Arvei Pesachim about a person who has only one vegetable on Leil HaSeder. Which vegetables does he have? He has mar, he has chazeres. So Rav Huna, I'm sorry, not Rav Huna, Reish Lakish says, no, he's got to make the bracha on the first tibul. Even though Tosa says we all miss the Srichas Kavana, and he has Kavana not to be yotze with the first tibul, because al matzah suvorom yochlu, he's only going to eat the mar after the matzah. So the first mar that he eats, he's going to make a bracha asher kitshonu mitzvosu al achilas mara. And Tosfos equates it with the bracha on tkiyas de miyushav, when really the ikar mitzvah is tkiyas de meumad. But since you're doing the maisa mitzvah, you have to make the bracha. Here also, it's like the korban chagiga, that achila is like the first kickoff of achilas zevach haPesach. So we're really not making the bracha on the mitzvah achilas hazevach as chagiga per se, but on the mitzvah achilas haPesach. It's a beautiful shtickle Torah, but honestly, it's dochuk miod. But then, if you take a look at number 12 on your page, the tzlach goes a step further, and he says the following, that you should learn the shrushim of the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvos. By the way, I'd recommend doing that if you have another lifetime. It's one of the most profoundly mudim. The Rav used to, one night a week in his apartment in the Morgenstern Dome, he used to invite the creme de la creme to learn the Shrushim with him, and it's very profound. Anyway, the Rambam says that when you talk about what's considered part of the Minyan HaMitzvahs in Taryag, you can have something that's Doraisa, and it's obligation Doraisa, but nevertheless, it's not counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. You know, it's like a Tofel, it's not an Ikar. In other words, that you only count the Ikar HaMitzvah, the Ikar HaChova. And the Tzlach wants to say that in terms of the mitzvah of achilas kodshim, even though the Rambam says explicitly that that's incumbent upon the Kohanim in the case of chatas v'yashim, nevertheless, there's a broader mitzvah, which the Rambam doesn't count in the Taryag, of the Yisraelim eating the basar of shlomim, of kodshim kalim.
Right.
And even though it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the Rambam can't deny it, we have a bracha, for example, on achilas ha-chagiga and so forth, and the Gemara here of Hayese, nevertheless, it's not counted in Taryag. Now, Zitzlach is not willing to explain to us why it's not counted in Taryag, but he insists that even the Rambam agrees that there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of achilas ha-bailim, Yisraelim, in the case of kodshim kalim, even though the Rambam says the mitzvah is what? Is incumbent upon the Kohanim in Kodshi Kodshim in Chatas V'Yoshim. Nevertheless, that's only as far as the Minyan HaMitzvahs is concerned. When the Rambam counts the Minyan HaMitzvahs, he limits it to the Kohanim in Chatas V'Yoshim. As we said before, the Elam Iluim is Kodshi Kodshim. The Torah elevates it. But if you ask the Rambam, is there a mitzvah d'oraisa incumbent upon the Yisraelim to eat Kodshi Kodshim Kalim? The answer is absolutely yes. But it's not counted in the Minyan Taryah. Why isn't it counted in the Minyan Taryag? He doesn't give you a clue. So, Rosa, I'm not sure what time it is. If somebody could just clue me in. So, I'm going to ask you two favors. Number one, there's a tremendous piece of work on Kodshim, which is an addendum to the Shagas Aryeh. It's called the Kuntres Achron. And that's what we're up to here. If you could do me a favor and remind me for Wednesday that we want to start, if you can also prepare this on your own, that would be great. And B'li Neder, what we want to do is continue this project in honor of Korban Pesach on Yom Revi'i. Okay then, so if you can help me with that by doing two things. Number one, making a note of where we're up to. And number two, to bring your friends to on Wednesday so we can all bring yourselves on Wednesday, you know, and we can finish this up.